If DNA can be so easily transferred, can the same be said for other types of forensic evidence? Especially as technology advances means we're getting so much better at detection. James French is from University College London's Centre for Forensic Sciences, and he has been asking these kinds of questions.
There are a number of issues that have arisen in recent years in forensic science. It's been highlighted that in a number of fields of forensic science, there's a lack of underpinning research to underpin our opinions and conclusions. And this was captured in the report by the National Academy of Sciences in the US in 2009. And they really criticised forensic science as having a lack of scientific basis in a number of different areas. And I guess that the work we try to do at the centre tries to correct that to some extent, and to improve the scientific basis for drawing conclusions in forensic science.
But surely all of our technology is getting better, so our conclusions should be getting better too.
I think this is actually one of the problems. We've come on so far in different areas of analysis in forensic science, but there are still many sort of unanswered questions and gaps in our knowledge in terms of interpretation. So while we're able to answer the sort of what questions with greater certainty, the sort of how and how did it get there and how long has it been there, there's still questions that we need to engage in more research in order to understand.
So what specifically do you work on?
So I've conducted some research into looking at gunshot residue. Gunshot residues are produced when a firearm is discharged. They're made up of different compounds from the bullet itself. And under high temperature and pressure, these particles are formed. They cool and condense as they are ejected from the firearm, and they're deposited in the vicinity. We might look to recover them at the scene of an incident involving a firearm. And they can provide useful intelligence and evidence in the investigation of crime. By analysing the gunshot residues, we might be able to determine something about the ammunition that was used, but also the presence of material on a suspect might indicate that they've been involved in the incident. So it could be highly valuable information. But as I mentioned before, there are a number of gaps in our understanding when it comes to gunshot residues.
We've got a demo here. We didn't get hold of a real gun. I'm sure you'll be glad to hear, but I've bought a toy gun that's used for shooting flies.
Okay.
So can you show me what would happen in terms of how the gun would leave residue on your hands and how you might go about finding it?
So I'll use a little bit of artistic license here. So we can imagine that this is just a handgun. So if I was to hold it like I'm showing you now, which is basically holding it in my right hand while supporting with my left hand, and I was to fire the gun, the gunshot residues would be part of the blast cloud that was ejected at the front of the gun, but also at little ejection ports in the side. And this would form the sort of cloud of residues that you see in a sort of slow-mo picture of a firearm discharged. And typically that cloud would be propelled back towards the shooter and in the vicinity. And residues we would expect to be deposited on the hands, particularly the back of the hands of the shooter, also on their face and hair, as well as their arms and sleeves, but also around and into the environment surrounding the firearm. So if I was to discharge the firearm,
go for it.
As shown, okay. We would expect to recover gunshot residues potentially from the back of my hand that was used to fire the gun. So I'm going to sort of seed my hands with some fake gunshot residue, which is just a UV powder. So I'm just putting it particularly on the area that that we would expect to locate it in, and that's really between the sort of thumb and index finger and in the gaps between my fingers there. And we can just see that actually that reflects under UV light. We can see
shining
that.
Blue, yeah, thumb now.
Blue purple. So when it came to sampling, imagine I was a suspect and I've been apprehended, I might be sampled for gunshot residues. And the way of doing this is really quite simple. We just use a little sticky self-adhesive tab that's attached to a stub. And these are sealed in a sealed tube that ensures that there can be no contamination from the environment. And the process is simply that with gloved hands, we would look to dab on the back of the hands, particularly focusing on the sort of webbing between the thumb and index finger to ensure that any residues were collected. Also in the sort of cracks between fingers and knuckles as well, to ensure that we were collecting the maximum amount of material. And that would kind of be quite standard procedure after a firearm is discharged.
meaning you would be caught red, or in our case, shining purple, handed, with evidence that a gun was fired in your hands. But does detecting this residue really mean it was you who done it? Part two of our demo suggested not.
So if I was to shake your hand in the normal way, and then we can look at your hands using the UV light, you can see that there's some reflecting between your thumb and forefinger there.
I see. I've been contaminated.
Yep, and potentially implicated in a crime. You've also got some there that I can see the naked eye as well. So there's a transfer that's occurred there. And that really is the... We've just demonstrated the principle of secondary transfer, and it's been shown that this is applicable to a number of different types of evidence, including gunshot residue and other traces, but also DNA as well.
And it's not just fun with toys. James and his team have tested this effect with a controlled experiment. They got police to fire real guns and then to shake hands with people who had not been present at the firing range.
The results of those experiments were that we found that gunshot residues could be transferred in fairly significant quantities from person to person. We actually found that the shooter was able to transfer material to another person who was then able to transfer to a third individual. Material was also transferred through the handling of a fired firearm as well. It's really just an extension of one of the basic principles of forensic science, which is Edmund Lockhart's axiom that every contact leaves a trace. And what the aim of this research really was not just to demonstrate that this kind of thing can occur, but it was to inform forensic scientists who encounter gunshot residue about the possibility of the evidence that they're observing having arisen from a secondary transfer.